10 just for a brief time and clarify a few verses that it just keeps coming back to me. And I know I said some of this stuff the other night, but last week, I want to go back and clarify it just because I feel in my spirit to do this. It's not like I left anything out, just like I need to say it again, okay? And the last part, the second half of the second verse, chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, says, wherewith, or what does that mean? According to, is that what it says? Nope. Which I think to be extreme conduct towards some, which think of us as if we walked or literally lived according to the flesh. Because we not walk but live in flesh. We do not what? We do not contend with what? Carnal inclinations according to flesh. The things that go on in that carnal thing, Paul said that's not our concern. Politics, wars, rumors of wars, famines, all these, that's not what it's about, is it? The main thing is about the internal part of us being realigned to where it's supposed to be. It's the thinking of the mind of Christ within us. Would you agree to that? It's about getting our thinking process back on the line where it was before the foundations of the world. Okay. And it says, we don't contend with carnal inclinations according to the flesh, because, verse 4, the weapons of our, not warfare, but the weapons of our apostolic duties are not what? The language here, the King James says carnal, but that word carnal says this. It's not under the control of the animal appetites. It's not under the Adamic nature, the beast nature. But it's mighty. See, the weapons of our apostolic duty are not under the control of the animal appetites, but they're mighty through God to the what? To the pulling down. Literally, the pulling down is demolition or extinction. When something is extinct, what is it? It ain't no more. It's dead. It's gone. So it's talking about extinction or total demolition of strongholds. Now the word strongholds here does not mean what we would think. Oh, there's a bunch of demons piled up in this pile, this corner over here, or a bunch piled up over here somewhere. This stronghold says this. Anything that you rely on to defend a position against an opponent. Now, can you tell me what weapon you use to defend your position against an opponent? Your mind, your thinking process. See, that's the weapons that you use. And if I use my thinking, not God's thinking, not the mind of Christ, but the thinking of my natural mind to defend my position, guess what? I am using a carnal weapon. See, I'm using a carnal weapon and pulling down those, and when I'm pulling them down or eliminating these strongholds, I'm tearing down all these thought processes in my mind. Do you understand that? See, I'm tearing down those things in my mind that tell me I got a right to be mad, I got a right to retaliate, correct? Okay. And then it goes on into the next verse in verse 5, casting down or literally destroying not imaginations but reasonings. And see, reasoning is in your mind when you start to convince yourself that you're right. Would you say that was reasoning? A lot of times we reason, I'm right because I'm right. See? I want to be right, so I'm right. Does that make me right? I got to be lined up with God to be right. Right? Huh? No. We're going to get there in just a second. About that evidence, okay? And every high thing, it exalts itself, what? According to, not against, but according to the knowledge of God. Now, that exalts itself according to the knowledge of God. Listen, look at me. I want you to look at me so you can see what I'm saying. According to the knowledge of God. Anything that exalts itself according to the knowledge of God. What does that mean? Trying to override what God says. There's the battle right there in your mind. When God says something and your mind says, no, I like it. I don't like that. I want it this way. You're trying to manipulate the truth. Can't do it. See, when you exalt every imagination, it's imagination in your mind that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What God said, that's the knowledge of God. True? And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Did he say some of your thoughts? Every thought has to be brought into the obedience of Christ. Not some of them. And some people like some of them that way, and some of them like it their own way. But the mixture will never fly in the kingdom of God. And having in readiness to revenge, or possessing in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, the word revenge here, what does it mean? I know last week we talked about it. Do you remember what it means? It does not mean to get even. God's not looking to get even with anybody. Do you hear me? This word here is vindicate. It's vindicate. It is not avenge. It's the word vindicate. And in this word vindicate, what our own language even says about it, the word vindicate is this out of the dictionary. It is to clear of an accusation, blame, suspicion, or doubt with supporting arguments and proof. See? And that's what I'm saying. It's to vindicate. So he said, and possessing in a readiness to vindicate all disobedience. He's going to vindicate it, prove that when you're accused, you're not guilty. There's the beauty of the thing, that you're not guilty, and God's sitting there ready to say, hey, when someone accuses you and points a finger at you, he's going to say, look at the cross. Look at the cross. I done paid the price. I've already vindicated that thing. You can't hold him guilty, right? There's what he's trying to tell us. So he says in the verse 7, finish 6, and all vindicate all disobedience when your obedience is what? When you become obedient to God, not go to church, not say prayers, not give money to the church, that's nice, but that's not what he's talking about. When your obedience is fulfilled. That means when you are totally obedient to God. Guess what? When you come to that point that your obedience is totally to God, guess what? You will no longer judge anybody. There will be no... What's the word again? There is no vengeance. See, there's no revenge. But the only thing in your heart when you become totally submissive to the mind of Christ is this. To vindicate every other person. See? The lion can lay down with the lamb. There'll be no war. See? Because there is no war. That's all mistranslations. And he says, do you look on things after the external appearance? If any man believe himself that he is Christ, let him of himself believe also this again, that because he is Christ, even so we are Christ. Correct? That's all. I just want to show you that one little section. I could go on. I don't want to re-minister this thing again because I've got to get chapter 11 tonight. But I wanted to put this back in there and reiterate again. That is a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture right there. The last half of verse 2, all the way through verse 6, basically in 6.
What you're saying is, as long as you continue to work out of the carnal mind,
you wrestle,
there's hell.
Yeah. Didn't Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we wrestle not against... No, he did say it in another place, but I'm looking at... The natural man receives nothing from the Spirit of God, neither can he, because it is spiritually discerned. And he did say, whenever you are wrestle and there's strife and envy and jealousies among you, you are yet carnal. And that means you're under the control of the animal appetites and instincts. Okay? It's non-spiritual. Okay? And remember, Jesus never defended himself, did he? That's where we got to be. Tough thing to do, but we got to do it. Okay, let's go on to chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, because I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, because I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knows, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Because such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. Excuse me. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labor more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Besides those things which are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak. Who is offended, and I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knows that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Whew, that's a mouthful. Yep. And everybody wants to complain, right? Let's go back to the first verse. Take a look at it again. The first word is would, correct? But it should say I wish. I wish, and the next two words to God are added words, should say I wish you would bear with me a little in folly, and indeed bear with me. And the word folly literally means foolishness or egotism. bear with me in my egotistical words or in my folly a little bit, my foolishness, because I am jealous over you. I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, because I have not espoused. Does anybody know what that word espoused means? Betrothed. Yeah, I've given you in marriage to somebody, like a father giving his daughter into marriage. Should say betrothed. He said, I have betrothed you to one husband. Wonder who that might be. It's to the Christ within you. When you come to the point when the Spirit of God, the Christ in you, wakes you up, it's like Paul was waking everybody else. He was preparing that woman, that soul, to receive her man. Correct? He said, that I may present you as a what? It says a chaste virgin to Christ. But the word should be pure or innocent. I want you to be pure and innocent. Well, you know what? I can't be anything but pure and innocent. Because of this, it's what He did. His blood purified me. His death on the cross and His resurrection made me innocent. Not what I've done, it's what He did. That's what made me right. Okay? Same thing that makes you right. He said, but I fear lest somehow, the words by any means should be somehow, as the serpent beguiled Eve. Literally the word beguiled means deceived. So as the serpent deceived Eve in his what? Or trickery. So your mind or your intellect be corrupted. So he said, so I'm concerned that you might be corrupted, okay? And literally that word corrupted means led away from the simplicity or the singleness and sincerity of one who is free from the pretense and hypocrisy. Once you come free in God, you know you become a threat to people. Just being around. Just being in a neighborhood. Nothing. See? You're free. You're dangerous to people that's hiding and got some pretense in their life or hypocrisy in their life. They're not sincere. They're not in singleness. They're in duality. Right? Now, but it says, by the same means that the serpent, and we know this serpent was not a snake in an apple tree, correct? We all know that. We're above that. But it was the serpent, the carnal mind, the accuser in her mind that convinced her that if she would do what God told her not to do, she'd be just like God. But the whole lie was the fact that she was already created in God's image. Right? So she bought the lie that she wasn't already a child of God. And you know how many people today that fill the church pews every week and they don't believe that they're sons of God? Because the same snake, the same serpent, the same carnal mind that attacked Eve attacks them and says, you're not worthy to be a son of God. Well, if it depended on what we do making us worthy, we're all out of luck. We're all out of luck. We ain't never going nowhere, are we? It's what He did that makes it right, not what we do. Because if He or the one that comes preaches a different Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which we have not received, which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with Him. What do you think He's saying? He's saying what we told you was the truth. If you get anything other than that, you're in trouble. If you're going to believe that there's some other kind of Jesus out here other than the one we're preaching to you, you believe a Jesus is going to be revengeful and take vengeance upon you and burn you up and kill you and torment you for eternity, you're missing the boat. God is love. He's not coming to do the thing. But the last part of that fourth verse says, you might well bear with Him. The Living Bible, you know what it literally says? You swallowed it all. He bought the lie. You swallowed the whole thing. The Revised Standard Version says, you submitted to it readily enough, didn't you? You heard the lie and then you submitted to it. You heard the truth, then you hear the lie, and you believe the lie and won't believe the truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, 10, 11, it says, if you don't receive or believe, literally, the truth, guess what's going to happen? God's going to send you a strong delusion, and you will be a lie, so that you will believe the lie, and so that you will be judged according to that. Okay, if you don't want to believe the truth, he ain't going to make you, is he? He'll give you something you want to believe, and that's what you will believe. That goat will eat anything. Verse 5 goes on to say this, because I suppose, literally estimate, think, or reconsider, okay, or consider, I was not, he said, I suppose, or consider, that, or reckon rather, that I was not behind or inferior to the very chiefest apostles. He said, I ain't no worse, I ain't behind them, I'm just like they are. We're all brothers. Hello? Who is better than you are? Who are you better than? Nobody. See? We're all one in Christ. Okay? Doesn't mean we all have the same position. Doesn't mean we all got the same function or the same duties, do we? We all got different calls. We do whatever God's got us to do. But that don't make us better than anybody else. I don't care if it's Billy Graham preaching to 200,000 people or 500,000 people at a time. Don't make him any better than the guy on the street doing what God told him to do. He's doing what he said. Remember Paul said, if you give someone a drink of water in the name of a prophet, you have what? A prophet's reward. Exactly. See, all you got to do is be obedient. I don't need no sacrifice. I want you to obey what I tell you. If God told you to go to New York City and talk to one person on the street, and you did it, you got a more of a reward than somebody said, I don't want to go to New York to do that. I want to go down to L.A. where it's warmer, and I'm going to preach to hundreds of thousands of people. He said, go ahead, you workers of iniquity. I never told you to do it, did I? Okay. You got to do what God said, and it don't make any difference what you think it looks like. It don't make any difference what someone else thinks it looks like. You've got to do what God said because he knows the result of what you're doing. That's exactly what he needs done. Stay with what God says. Don't worry about the appearance of the eye. Right? Mm-hmm. Jonah did the same thing. Good example. Okay? Verse 6 goes on to say, but if also in speech, yet not in knowledge. He said, if I was behind them in speech, or in the logos, the word speech here is logos, in the word of God, but not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly, or literally it says, we have been thoroughly made manifest to you in all things. And that's not exactly what it says. It should say this, but all in all, we have been to you made manifest. But all in all, to you, we have been made manifest. To you in all things. Verse 7 goes on and says, Have I committed an offense or a sin in humbling myself? Is there a sin in that? Is there an offense in humbling yourself? That you, and cross out that word might, it isn't there, abasing myself or humbling myself, that you be exalted? What good would it be for me to humble myself that you might be something? I humbled myself not on a whim or a maybe, but because what I do brings results. That's what Paul's saying. What I did brings results in your life. Because I have preached to you the gospel of God without charge. Without charge. And the gospel of God he freely preached to you was the reconciliation of all creation. Jesus' purpose, according to the scriptures, and you hear people preach it every day and never see the truth, he came to reconcile God and man. Hello? God and man. Aren't we men? Are we humans? I'm sure the word is anthropos there. It's humanity. He came to reconcile humanity to God. Is he a failure or a success? Well, then guess what? Somebody missed it. They say his purpose was to do that, but he didn't accomplish it. Because by the church standard, 90% of the people is going straight to a burning hell. Correct? That's what they say. But something don't work there for me. That don't work in this book. Okay? And Paul goes on to say, I robbed other churches taking wages of them to do you service. Not exactly what it says. He didn't say I robbed, he said I stripped. He took things from other churches to do you service. Now, what's he saying? No, well, he did. No, he did outward things. This is why he's talking about the physical thing right here. He said, I took things from the other churches. They met my need because you didn't. That's who he's talking to, the Corinthians. You didn't take care of my needs. So God had someone from another place come, a place called Macedonia, according to this next few verses here, which is the extended land, the first fruit, or the tabernacle's people that come on in from the extended land, from all four corners of the earth. Guess what? They're going to come and supply the need that God wants. True? We don't have to beg. God will bring it around. And when I was present with you and lacked, not wanted, but lacked, when I lacked something, I was chargeable, or literally a burden, to no man. Even if I had lack, I was not a burden to anybody. I didn't say, hey, you owe me something. And according to most church doctrine, they teach, and all the ministry run around the country saying, hey, you need to build your pastor the big fancy home, buy him fancy cars, send him on vacations, pay him hundreds of thousands of dollars every year. Hogwash. Jesus was our example. He did not come to be served, but he came to be the servant. So guess what the minister should be? Servants. Servants don't wear tuxedos and drive limousines or be chartered around and carried around in a limousine. Guess what? We're supposed to be the servant of the body of Christ. Then how about getting your hands dirty once in a while? How about having to clean your fingernails sometimes? And that's not for money you clawed out of somebody's hand either, up under your fingernails. How about a little dirt in your fingernails once in a while? Show me you're a real person. Okay? He said, I was not a burden to no man, because that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia, the extended land, the first fruit, the tabernacle's people, supplied. In all, I have kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so will I keep myself. You see, you don't ask. God will send it from somebody somewhere. In Luke 9:38, I think, 6:38 or 9:38, says one of the two, I can't remember which one it is, but he said this, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosoms. Okay. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. I know people say, well, I'm waiting on God to bring it. Don't hold your breath. God will send it through somebody else. When you least expect it, it'll always come. Because you know why it'll always come? Because he said so. He said, I'll supply your needs according to his riches in Christ. So someplace Christ is going to provide. Not God the Father going to come down and bring something to you. He's going to send it through the bosom of a man. No, not what you think you need, but what you need. Okay? Where am I at? 10. The truth of Christ, the word as in the first word isn't in there, should say, the truth of Christ is in me. No man shall stop me of this boasting in the region of what? Region of trouble or Greece. It was the land actually called Greece. Okay? The land, actually the country Greece. But it talks about his trouble. No man will stop me of boasting. Why? What did he say? What did he say the reason was? The truth of Christ is in me. Jesus said, I am the truth, right? So the truth of Christ is in you. How can anybody stop you? If God sends you on a mission, can anything stop you? Nope. Because if he wants it done, how could possibly anything take that course and change it? Couldn't. If it's God's will, it can't be changed. Okay? If he changed, he wouldn't be God. He said, no one could stop his boastings in the regions of Achaia or trouble or the Greece, okay, or Greece. And then the question, wherefore? Why couldn't they? Why could they? So we just said it. Because it was God's purpose to be done. And he says, because I love you, is it because I love you not? Is it because I don't love you? I don't think so. He said, God knows. He knows why I did it. Paul doesn't have to explain himself, does he? And you don't have to explain yourself to anybody. This is the life that God gave you, and it's you and Him living it out. It's not up to me to tell you how to live your life. It's not up to any person to tell you how to live your life. You live it according to what God tells you and according to this Word. Because God will never tell you anything contrary to this Word. If He did, then that makes God a liar, and the whole thing's void. Right? And He can't do that. Okay. Verse 12. But what I do, I will do, that I, and cross out the word may there, I may cut, in order that I cut off occasion. Is that what it says? The word occasion is opportunity. Okay, what's your New American Standard? What? New King James? Okay. It should say that I cut off, not may cut off, but that I cut it. He said, what I do, I will do, in order that I cut off the opportunity from them which desire an opportunity. And that opportunity they're looking for is to take a shot at you. Try to destroy the truth of Christ that you're preaching, the gospel. In order that wherein they boast, they be found. The word may should be crossed out there too. In order that they, wherein they boast, they be found also as we are. Paul's saying, let them boast, but let them be found the same way we are. We all got to walk the same course, don't we? Everybody walks the same course. Because, verse 13, such are what? False apostles, or one other thing, pretended preachers. That's what the language says. Pretended preachers. Deceitful workers. Okay? What do you think that deceitful workers is? The word workers is. The word workers here actually says it's a teacher and one who works for hire. A teacher who works for hire. Now, we're not talking about teachers in the secular school system. What are we talking about? Teachers of the gospel. They teach for hire. There's nothing wrong with being provided what you need to live, your subsistence. Is not the ox that treads out the grain worthy of double hire? Are they that labor in the word worthy of double hire? Okay, that's all right to receive that. But when you do it just for the hire, do you know how many people go to seminaries now because of bad economies and they say this is a secure profession? When things get bad, people go where? They go to church looking for an answer, an easy way out. So guess what? When things get bad, I don't have to worry about it. Mine will still be there. That's what they think. Not true, but that's what they think. So if you're in it for the hire, you're wasting your time, and sooner or later you're going to be found out anyway. Okay? But they are transforming themselves. It said they're deceitful workers or teachers for hire, one who works for hire. And the word transforming here is not really a good word. It literally says disguising themselves. Kind of like a hypocrite. They're disguising. Like a hypocrite, they're stage actors or players on the stage performing what they think you want them to be. But the word transforming should be disguising themselves to be apostles of Christ. They're disguising themselves in what they think an apostle is. But you know what the church world thinks an apostle is definitely not an apostle. I'll be pretty confident that if the 12 apostles who walked on this earth, and let's forego Judas Iscariot, let's go to the 11 plus Paul, and if all of them was to walk on the face of the earth today, there probably ain't a member of church anywhere that would have anything to do with them, because they probably wouldn't smell too good. Walking around with goats and sheep, huh? Sleeping on the ground, not taking baths for months and months. What do you think? Sleeping with the goats and sheep too, the chickens and everything else they had. Probably a few of them was pig farmers too, even though they wasn't supposed to have them. Okay? But they're transforming themselves into the apostles of, to be the apostles of Christ. And not to marvel about this, correct? Don't marvel about this. It's no big shock. Because the accuser himself is disguised what? to be an angel of light. He's disguised to be an angel of light. What do you think that serpent did to Eve? We're talking about the serpent in here, aren't we? And Eve being deceived. What do you think? You think he come out like a big snake with fangs biting her? He was enticing her. He was enticing her, deceiving her, that everything's okay. Therefore, it is no great thing if his servants, talking about the serpent, also be disguised as servants of righteousness. They act like they are, you know, but you ought to watch what they do. Sometimes their feet don't match up with the words they speak, do they? Whose end shall be according to their works. Now, there's a few verses here I want to read to you. Matthew 16:27. Matthew 16:27. Just take a minute to get there and read it. 16:27. It says, because the Son of Man shall appear in the glory of his Father, in the midst of his angels, his messengers, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. When he appears in the midst of his messengers, there's when the reward comes. And you know what God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1? Abraham was complaining that he had no inheritance, no one to take care of his inheritance. And God answered him and said, I am your great and exceeding reward. And see, there's what the sons of God are. When God shows up in them, there's your reward. There's where the whole thing is. But he said he's going to give it to every man. Go ahead. The fruit of the seed has to come. Okay, in 2 Timothy 4:14, read one more, a couple more of these things. 2 Timothy 4:14 says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Paul didn't say, I'll get even with him. He said, the Lord will reward him according to his works. Did he say revenge him? Punish him? He just said he's going to reap what he says. If you don't sow any good seed, you ain't going to have no harvest. That's all. God didn't say he's going to punish you because you didn't have good seed, did he? You just reap the corruption. You won't have anything. You'll have an empty. You won't have those rewards that everyone else has. You won't have part of the inheritance. In Revelation 2 and 23, Revelation 2 and 23, he says this. The last part of the verse says, and I will give to every one of you according to your what? Works. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse 13, that'll be the last one. 20, verse 13. I want to read in verse 12. Start in verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to what? According to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. See? And James went ahead and told us about works. Works does not produce faith. Faith produces works. Big difference. Big, big difference. Verse 16, he goes on and says, I say again, let no man think of me a fool. Think me a fool. He said, if you think, he said, don't think of me as a fool. But if you do, but as foolishly, or literally what? In foolishness, in this confidence of boasting. No, I went to the wrong verse. Excuse me. Back up to 16. I went to 17. I went from 16 and jumped right into 17. I took my eyes off the page. Let me back up. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast a little. So go ahead and receive me as a fool if you want to, but receive me and hear what I got to say. Even if you think it's boasting. In order that which I speak not according to the Lord, but as in foolishness, in this confidence of boasting, seeing or sense many boast according to the flesh, I will boast also. He said, they all boast, now I'm going to boast a little bit. Because you suffer or put up with fools gladly, seeing that you yourselves are wise. So you think you're wise, so you put up with the fools. That's what people do. They exalt themselves because somebody says something that agrees with you, whether it's right or wrong, you feel good. Because we all agree. Like I told you about the man today, just because we disagreed, he got upset. Well, I got a right to my opinion like he's got to his opinion. Mine comes from the scriptures, his comes from the carnal mind. He can't support it anywhere. He just does what he wants. Disguising themselves, yep. verse 19, for you, I did that, didn't I? 20, because you endure if a man bring you into bondage. People go to church and they're in the worst bondage in the world. You're in prison. You're in bondage. He said, but you'll put up with being put out into bondage. If a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you in the face, said, you'll take all that stuff. You'll let him just run your life. And he said, I speak concerning disgrace and reproach, as though we had been weak. However, wherein soever any is bold, and said, I speak foolishly or egotistically, I am bold also. And then he asked these four questions. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? He said, now I'm speaking as a real egotistical fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death often or frequently or many times. From the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save once, or 39 stripes. That was 39 lashes, not just 39 stripes on his body. 39 lashes with that cat of nine tails. He said, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day, and literally the language says a full 24 hours, I have been in the deep or in the sea from shipwreck. In journeyings frequently, in travelings frequently or many times. In danger, the word perils here for all this next few times, every time I say the word perils, it means danger. The language is danger. In danger of water, in danger of robbers, in dangers of my own countrymen or my own kin, like your own family. I'm going to tell you what, I got family who probably just soon see me dead as breathe another breath. I've done nothing to them. They just, in their mind, they've created all kinds of things because I don't agree with what they say is right. Okay? It's okay. It's their hell they got to live in, not me, because I sleep good every night. In danger by the heathen. In danger in the city. In danger in the wilderness or the desert or in the solitude of the desert. In danger in the sea. In danger among false brethren. In danger in weariness and in painfulness. Literally that word weariness is intense labor. The word actually means I was in danger in intense labor and painfulness or distress and in watchings. The word watchings, what does that mean to you? What would the word watching mean? King James slaughters it, but you know, I want you to see it. It means sleeplessness, in sleeplessness. It doesn't mean just sitting, okay, it's my turn to set up and watch tonight. It means many times that you're without sleep. You know why? And it doesn't necessarily mean that context of being on guard, like watching a fort or secure a boundary or something.
Alert all the time.
You're alert. How about this? sleeplessness because God wants to deal with something in my life. You know, Paul spent a lot of time with God in the desert. And there ain't nobody else around but you and him. And you know what? Clock. You know what I'm saying? Clock means nothing whenever God's dealing with you. I've had times in my life when God kept me up 24 hours a day sometimes. And that's fine because it took me where I am today. I wouldn't trade anything for it. There was nothing I could have been doing that was greater than when he speaks and shows you the truth. Nothing's better. Nothing in this world's better. And I encourage everyone to hope he deals with everybody that way because it's fantastic. It's tough, but it's fantastic, the results. He said, in the sleeplessness often, in hunger, and in thirst, and in fast. So he just said in hunger, but now he says in fastings. Now, you know what the word fasting means? An absence of food. Now, is that always natural? There's sometimes I maybe am fasting the word. I'm not saying doing without the word. There's times when I can't get to that book, and I have to live from the supply that's within me. Okay? Not no cop-out, not saying don't use the book, because I'm going to tell you you need the book all the time. There's times when I can't get in the book. I got too many responsibilities to take care of. That's fine. But I guarantee you, I'm never without the word. Because the word's rolling in my mind day and night. That's why I said tonight when I started in chapter 10 and went back over those verses, all week long this thing's been stirring in me about what I ministered last week. It was more to it than what we touched. I mean, I might have said the same words, but it needed to be reiterated again. I never forget that. It's always inside of me. And you know, whatever's within you is going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart's full of God's Word, you're going to speak the Word of God no matter who likes it or dislikes it. I can't speak any other way. And I don't apologize for it. It's just what I am. I am who I am. What was that saying? We be who we be. And I'm not ashamed of that. God made me. I didn't make myself. So is he. Absolutely. In cold and in nakedness. Now the word nakedness to most people say, whoop, he ain't got no clothes on. He's shining in all his glory. You know what that word nakedness means? It's relative. It means in wintertime, if I went out with a pair of shorts on and a t-shirt, you know what I'd be? Naked. I'd be naked to the elements, wouldn't I? It's relative. The word literally says it's relative. What it's relative to, you're naked compared to what everybody else is dressed in. And literally, we're not even talking about physical nakedness. We're talking about being exposed to everything. Okay? You're not protected from everything. Does that make sense? You're not protected from everything. Besides those things which are without, that which does what? The word comes upon. The language in the Greek language literally says, it's the burden of oversight or pressure upon me daily. The burden of oversight or pressure upon me daily. The care, and then he tells you what it is, the care of all the churches. Now, do you think Paul's talking about all the church buildings with little steeples and stained glass windows? He's talking about the care of the ecclesia. What is the ecclesia? It's the people, the ones that's called according to God's word in his timing. Okay? And then he goes on in verse 29 and says, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended? The word is scandalon. It literally means entrapped, tripped up, or stumble. Who doesn't stumble and I burn not? Now, do you think he's... He literally means like one of the renderings of this word is intense jealousy. Do you think he's jealous if someone else is suffering? What do you think the word really should say? He's concerned about somebody. What it says here, he have an intense concern. Okay? He said, no, somebody else, if someone else is hurting, they're entrapped, they're tripped up, they stumble, you know, because of whatever the carnality is, He said, I have an intense concern. Okay? He said, if I must boast, verse 30, I will boast in the things which concern my what? Infirmity is not a good word. What'd you say? That's closer. But literally it says my frailty. He said, I'll boast in the fact of my frailty. How frail is a human anatomy? It's nothing without Christ. But you know what? He says, I'm going to boast in my frailty. How frail that I am as a human being. Life is so frail. It can be gone, like James said, it's like a vapor. Boom, it's gone. He said, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore. Literally, there's three words there. Eis, ho, aeon, into the age or ages, knows that I lie not. Now, do you think Paul's a man that's concerned about someone accusing him being a heretic? He said right there, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ knows, that's blessed in the age, knows that I lie not. Do you think he's concerned what somebody says about him? He doesn't care what somebody says about him. Accusations are normal in that position. It's normal to hear those kind of things. It's the thing that happens constantly. He said they'll say all manner of evil about you. They'll lie about you. They'll falsely accuse you. He said, you're blessed. Absolutely. Absolutely. And he said, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascenes, finally got it right, with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. Paul said, here the man in Damascus, the king, the governor rather, under Artarius, the king. Do you know what the names of those people mean? Damascus, you know, we have the standard name, Sidon is a sackcloth weaver. Or there's a second rendering to it, a sack full of blood. What do you think a sack full of blood would mean to you? A sack full of blood. Somebody dying. Blood belongs in the body, not in a sack, does it? It means somebody's doing a lot of death here. There's either life or death in it, and this is a negative context, so we're seeing something real negative here. Under Aretas the king. You know what Aretas means? Graver. Huh? Burying them. He's graving them. Putting them in the grave. He's killing them. Kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And here's a little kicker on the end. Look at this verse 33. Now, he said they was trying to capture him. He could have stopped right there, but he said something that I think fits somewhere else in Scripture. He said, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped from his hands. I think there was a man called Moses that was put in a basket. Wonder. There was a man in, what was her name? Rahab. That put him down another way, down over the wall. Joshua and Caleb. They were put down over the wall. God has always made a provision to escape. He said, I'll never put anything on you, but you got a way of escape. God has always got something prepared. When the world thinks they got something accomplished against what God's doing, he surprises them. Always does. But I could see Moses in this. I could see Joshua and Caleb. You know, just numerous other things through the Scriptures that just fit that same pattern. That got healed. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things you can tie with that. Out of humanity. Would. Okay. Yep. Anybody got anything else to add, to say? Comments, rocks, anything like that?